We're going to continue our series today on the love of God. One we looked at several sessions ago was on the importance of loving God, that we should love God. And last time we looked at the great truth that God loves us, and now we're going to talk about loving others. Again, none of this is very radical. Probably very few verses you haven't read 10 times, but there's still things that are very important to have fresh in your mind. Proverbs 15, verse 17. It says here, better is a dinner of herbs, meaning a very tiny dinner, just, you know, like the smallest of small salads, than a stalled ox. Lots of things. So it's better to have like a tiny minuscule salad or two celery sticks than to have a huge slab of prime rib. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. That's very important. It's very important that we love people, that we care about them, remember the first two commandments, which we'll read here in a little bit, that we first have to love God and then love our neighbor. And it gets so lost in Christianity many times, where people get so focused about whatever social problem they're worried about or whatever political problem they're worried about, they forget that just walking in love towards our fellow man, and especially towards the household of faith, is the great thing God wants us to do as far as people. If you do nothing else but walk in love towards people, God will bless you abundantly for it. And the people will be blessed, and you'll be happier. Proverbs 17, verse 9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. And of course, we're in a sort of a full disclosure society where it used to be everything got in the newspaper the next morning. Today it happens, and 2 minutes later it's on the internet. Whatever it is that's going on with anybody. But the person that just realizes somebody goofed up and covers it up and doesn't say anything about it, he seeks love, because that gives a person a second chance to move on. But the person that repeats it and likes to gossip, that just separates very friends. It doesn't do anything to help. But again, it's much more popular these days to talk about people's problems. And I've often said that everybody has their ways of separating things and slicing and dicing and organizing stuff. But in my mind, there's two approaches to Christianity. One is talk about the sins of man. And that's easy, because everybody has them. Everybody has shortcomings. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody has areas where they're strong and areas where they're weak. That's just people. So you can either focus on the sins of man, or you can focus on the deliverance of sin we have through Jesus Christ. And it's very easy to tell when you talk to somebody which camp they're in. Because some are just rejoicing on the goodness of God and the deliverance we have through Christ. And others just can't wait to tell you how somebody goofed up. Whether it's a friend, a neighbor, a family member, a political person, an entertainer, somebody. There's always somebody that goofed up. And you can tell 5 minutes talking to somebody. Are they going to just gripe about some person's sin? Or are they going to talk about the greatness of the deliverance they have and how God's blessed them? And it's a matter of what you want to focus on. But to walk in love, we don't focus on people's sins and shortcomings. Obviously, somebody needs help, we help them with the word and with prayer. But the focus is not on their sin and inabilities and mistakes. The focus is on God's love and God's ability to bring deliverance. Proverbs 17, verse 17. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity, for problems. And that's really what you find out in life. So when things go wrong, you find out who your friends are. Everybody wants to be your friend when everything's going great, life is fun, you're having a party, you got a lot of money, the weather's nice, everybody's your buddy. But then let some stuff go wrong, and then you find out who's still with you? But it's right here. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Matthew chapter 5. Walking in love is one of the greatest joys in life. Matthew 5 and verse 43. Enthusiastic pooches, I love it. Love it, love it, love it. Matthew 5 and verse 43. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Perhaps that is what they said back then. Excuse me, I know a lot of people that think that way today. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. I think about this a lot. If I'm having a tough day, and I mean I'm having it, if I run into somebody who's having a tough day and they just are very nasty to me, I just figure, boy, if they're that nasty, they must be having a tough day. They must have some real problems in their life if they bite my head off because I ask them a simple question. I'm going to pray for them because they're having a much tougher day than I am. Me just being mean to them back is just going to make their day even worse. It's not going to help them. So I think it's a great verse. Again, verse 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? Anybody can love people that love them. Loving people that aren't so lovable, that takes a little more work. But as we do so, God will bless us, and who knows, you may just reach somebody. And many of those people are so grumpy and so miserable and so mean because they haven't been loved and helped and encouraged. So you're not going to get through to everybody, but you get through to more people that way than you would otherwise. Matthew 18, verse 21. Matthew 18, 21. Here, Matthew 18, 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Peter thought that was great. If I forgive him seven times. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. In other words, as often as it takes. That's a radical concept. That's walking in love. Forgiving people, giving them chances, helping them, encouraging them. I'm amazed how Christians give up on people. I'm sad to say it, but often the most judgmental and negative people you meet are Christians. I was talking to a couple out west recently where they had problems and basically everybody had given up on them. Everybody had said, forget it, it ain't going to work. That person's going to goof you up. But they really wanted to figure it out. And well, they did. It's not totally done, but I didn't do anything radical except not give up on them. And just pray and give them some little bit of practical advice and basically gave them another chance when everybody else just said, that's it, you've goofed up, don't want anything to do with you. I didn't. I just sort of stayed with them. And so far it's working out. Whether it works out long term, that's up to them. But you just don't give up on people. And you don't give up on yourself. Because God doesn't. When was the last time God gave up on somebody? I mean, I know there are people in the Bible that go so far out that God can't do anything for them. But we live in the age of grace. And then there's some radical people. Like, I think it was even Ahab in the Old Testament. He was the model for one of the worst kings ever. But then at some point the prophet came to him and said, get yourself together, you're going to die. And he got himself together. And he repented. And I forget exactly what happened, but God gave him a break because he changed his mind. And that's the way we have to look at it, that God gives people second chances. God helps people. God works with them. So who are we to say, you're a bum, you're no good, get out of here, I want nothing to do with you? We're just, that's just not our job. Obviously, if God tells you, you got to do that. But other than that, we have to love people and stay with them. Mark 12. Nope, sorry, skipped one. Matthew 22. Matthew 22, verse 37. Here in Matthew 22:37, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Hello. I think there's a seat right there for you. Hello, enthusiastic pooches. Hello. You. Woof. Everybody's glad to see you guys. So here in Matthew 22:37, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, with your whole being. We love God. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So only love other people as much as you love yourself. And only forgive them as much as God and His Son Jesus Christ forgave them. If you do that, you're doing fine with people. Verse 40, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Everything is based on simply loving God and loving your neighbor. When you do that, stuff just works out. Now, Mark chapter 12. Go on, Mark chapter 12 and verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, Which is the first commandment of all? Verse 29. And Jesus answered, The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And here, of course, he's quoting from the Old Testament, from the law. Verse 30, And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Verse 32, And the scribe said unto him, Well, master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love His neighbor as Himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto them, Him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man durst or dared to ask Him any questions. So that scribe knew the word. Jesus Christ told him that. Luke 6, verse 27. As I said, it's unfortunate that Christians are often the most judgmental and negative people you'll meet. And part of it is there are some groups within Christianity and some leaders that like to build on hate and fear. But you don't see that in the scriptures. Think of where Jesus Christ was. He was in a climate with a political environment nothing like we're in. The political environment we're in, I know we have our problems and everybody has opinions and we live in a democracy so we're free to speak them. But they were in a society where they were run by unbelieving dictators who just taxed the heck out of them. A third of the people, roughly, were slaves. Another third weren't slaves but had no legal rights. Only about a third of the people had what we would call the right to due process of law. Those were the Roman citizens. It was in a lot of ways like under the Soviet Union before it fell 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Very similar system. Yet did Jesus Christ spend all his time and energy trying to fight that and worry about it and getting negative. He didn't. Of course, they lived in a society where, you know, voting and voicing your opinion really wasn't appreciated. Whereas we live in a society where you can. But just because we live in a society where we can doesn't mean we have to put all our energy into worrying about that. He put his energy into walking in love and speaking God's word.
Thank you.
So, it's interesting.
Thank you.
What his focus on was. Anyway, Luke 6, verse 27. But I thought about it. If you ever wanted to get mad about your society, he certainly had every right to, but he didn't. So, verse 27, Luke 6, 27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away that cloak, forbid not to take that coat also. Give to every man that asketh thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, the way you'd like to be treated, do ye also to them likewise. For if you love them that love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward will be great. And you shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Now look at this. Be ye therefore merciful. And mercy is withholding judgment or punishment from people that deserve it. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Isn't that great? We should be merciful as our Father is merciful. Another great thing about loving people. Luke 7, this is an incredible story here. Luke 7, verse 36. Luke 7, 36. And one of the Pharisees, and the Pharisees was one of the major groups within the Judean religious hierarchy. And they tended to be extremely proper and extremely concerned about following every rule and every law. So one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Because the Pharisee was too good to associate with people that he considered sinners, and he thought Jesus Christ shouldn't have anything to do with her either. Verse 40, and Jesus answering, it's great how he got revelation here, because it said this Pharisee said it within himself. God must have told him what he was thinking, or maybe it was really obvious from the look on his face. One or the other. Jesus answering, verse 40, said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. Verse 41, so he told him a little story here. There was a certain creditor, a guy who loaned money, which had two debtors, two guys that borrowed money. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. Verse 44, and he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. They gavest me no water for my feet. And it was common at that time, because they wore sandals and the roads were dusty, that if an honored guest came into your house, you'd have your servant or you yourself go and wash his feet. We will often, you know, offer to take somebody's coat and give them a glass of water, a cup of coffee. But back then, because of the sandals and the dusty roads, you would often wash people's feet. Remember, Jesus Christ did that to his apostles? He washed their feet as a sign that he loved them and that he was willing to serve them. So he says, verse 44, I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint. Now that was sort of a funny custom. You know, you'd walk in their house, and if you really want to show honor to somebody, you'd pour a bottle of Mazola on their head. We wouldn't like that in our culture. But back then, it was a sign of great love and honor that you'd anoint somebody's head with oil. I'm trying to think what we might do. What would you do here that would be really nice? You know, again, offer them a coffee, offer them a drink, make them a sandwich. I'm trying to think. Let them sit in your favorite chair. I mean, I'm trying to think of all the things you might do in our culture to make somebody feel special. Well, back then, it was pouring oil on their head. So, verse 46, my head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she what? Loved much. To whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And again, that looks like Davin. Sounds like Davin woke up. Kevin and Carol, there's a new baby downstairs who just woke up. How fun. So, it's really true. There are people that think they are so together they don't need God's love and forgiveness, so they have no reason to love him. There are other people that just know they're a mess. They admit it. And when they find out that God loves them anyway, they're just very thankful. Well, this woman was one of those. She knew she was a mess. She showed great respect and kindness to our Lord Jesus Christ. And when she realized she was forgiven, she had great love. The Simon, the Pharisee, he thought he was so perfect he didn't need forgiveness. So he had no love, he had no mercy, he had no nothing. Because he just sat back being self-righteous and thinking he was all better. Well, there are plenty of people like that. Let them think that. But compared to God, we're all sort of a mess. What's it say? All men sin and fall short of the glory of God. He remembereth our frame and knows we're dust. So I get all high and mighty and think I'm better than everybody. I think it's better to think God's better than all of us. Remember that verse we read a few sessions ago where somebody tried to call Jesus Christ good? And he got really mad. He said, don't call me good. No one's good but God. And if Jesus Christ wouldn't let him call him good, wow. That means none of us match and measure up. But we don't have to, because Jesus Christ paid for our sins, and God loves us. So let's get back here. Verse 47, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this man that forgiveth sins also? And he said unto the woman, thy faith, thy believing hath saved thee. Go in peace. Wow. Radical, radical record about the love of God. You can be as self-righteous as you want to be. You can follow all the laws. At least think you are. You can live this life that you think is perfect. But if you don't walk in love and realize God's forgiven you, it doesn't really matter. Let's go on to John 13. John 13. And verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. He said, let me read that again. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Not just put up with each other, not just love each other when everybody does everything your way, but just love one another. As I have loved you. And he put up with every one of their foibles. And they had plenty of foibles, meaning oddities, shortcomings, problems. Verse 35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. That's where we should be focusing as Christians, is having as much love, kindness, care, compassion, empathy for people as we possibly can. Not sitting in a high tower and judging everybody for their mistakes. John 15, verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. So Jesus Christ followed God's example and loved his disciples. Continue ye in my love. Verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So if you simply follow the word, you'll be continuing to walk in love. Verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you what? Love one another. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of this world, of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So, again, verse 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. So loving one another is a great thing. It starts by knowing that God loves us. And then we follow his example by loving others. But even more than that, we love God. But to just love God and then sit around and be judgmental of everybody else and say, you don't love God enough. I've had plenty of people tell me that in my life. You don't love God enough. Really? I don't get you. I sort of spend a lot of time focusing on loving God. But there are people that will tell you that. There are people who will tell you all kinds of things. But what God wants us to do is simply follow his example. Love him and love our neighbor. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love, for your kindness, for the joy of being here and being able to look at your word and share it together. Thank you for the joy of being able to pray for one another. And may we, in the weeks ahead, focus on simply walking in love to whoever we're with, knowing that as we do this, we are living your word. Christ in us is shining out as an example to help others believe you, love you, and know what a great God you are. Thank you for this great week ahead. Pray for everyone here, for all their loved ones, their livelihoods, everything about their lives. May you bless them abundantly, and may we see your power at work in our lives every day. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.